I want to draw your attention today to two verses we find in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. In verse 21 we read, "From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day." And then in verse 22 we have the reaction of Peter. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you." Peter had thoughts about the crucifixion of Christ that were very negative. For Peter the cross spelt disaster. For Peter it meant a return to the old life. For Peter his hopes of an earthly kingdom under Christ were gone, and gone forever. But when Peter comes to write his epistles, he has second thoughts about the cross. What he said at Caesarea Philippi is all changed, and he thinks about the cross from a different point of view. And in his epistles we see his second thoughts about the cross. First of all, he thinks of the costliness of the cross. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter says, "Not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Here Peter speaks about the costliness of the cross. He tells us that earthly payment is useless, not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Silver and gold can't buy us redemption, and it couldn't purchase us salvation. Tertullian, one of the old early church leaders, said, "Nothing that is God's is obtainable by money." And another writer put it like this, "Money is not able to buy a single necessity of the soul." And we remember the old hymn that says, "Not silver or gold hath obtained my redemption. The way unto heaven cannot be thus bought. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of the Saviour redemption is wrought." And then Peter says, while earthly payment is useless, he says, heavenly payment is priceless. Verse 19 of 1 Peter 1, he says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's the cost of our redemption, the precious blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross. Men and women, Calvary was not a cheap option. It was not a bargain price redemption. It was an expensive enterprise. It cost the Son of God his precious blood. And Peter is referring here to the costliness of the cross. But the second thought that Peter had in his second thoughts of the cross was the loneliness of the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24 he says, "Who by his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree." Who by himself, or who his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. The enemy spat upon him. The world rejected him. All forsook him. And the greatest tragedy of all probably was that the Father turned his face away. Jesus was rejected even by his Father, abandoned by his Father. He turned his face away from him. When Jesus was in the wilderness of temptation, an angel came and ministered to him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel was sent to strengthen him. But no angel came to Calvary. He suffered, bled, and died alone. And Peter speaks about the costliness of the cross, but he also speaks about the loneliness of the cross. Forsaken by his Father, his friends turning against him, and he's alone in the agony of the cross, the loneliness of the cross work of our Saviour. Don't we sing so often how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, and wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. There's an American Presbyterian minister called Dr. Philip Reichen, and he says this, "A God-damned Messiah, forsaken of God, Jesus was a God-damned Messiah. Strong words, but true words. Jesus knew something of the loneliness of the cross. And then Peter had a third thought in these second thoughts of the cross, not just the costliness of the cross or the loneliness of the cross, but the completeness of the cross. Notice what he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ hath once suffered for sins. Christ hath once suffered for sins. And the writer to the Hebrews speaks of this also in Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The completeness of the cross. Peter saw the crosswork of Christ as finished. He saw it as complete. Nothing remained to be done. It was over and finished with. You know, we live in a world today where things have to be supplemented. Money has to be supplemented. We have our house full of food supplements. But Calvary needed no supplement. It doesn't need any supplement. Jesus Christ has completed the work the Father gave him to do. Some years ago, I was in the Japan preaching, and there was another preacher there from the continent of Europe. And he was speaking one night about the prodigal son and referring to the prodigal going out, coming back home, and the father going out to meet him. He said that the father ran out and hugged him and kissed him. And he said when the veil of the temple was rent in two, it was as if God the Father ran out from behind the rent veil and hugged the Son and said, the work is finished, it's complete, it's over and done with. I read some years ago of a man who ordered a Rolls Royce from Rolls Royce in England and had it sent to the country where he was resident. He was a man with an engineering mind and he wanted to know the horsepower of the Rolls Royce. And he sent a telegram to Rolls-Royce asking for the details of the engine. And he got a telegram back with one single word on it, adequate. And the work of Jesus Christ on the cross is finished. It's adequate. And then the fourth thing that Peter thinks about in his second thoughts about the cross is the redemptiveness of the cross. The loneliness, the costliness, the loneliness, the completeness of the cross, but the redemptiveness of the cross. Look again at 1 Peter 1 and 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed. Brought back. The price has been paid in full, as we've seen in the previous point. But here is God's redemptive work on the cross, bringing us back to him. For he has redeemed us, not with corruptible things, but with his precious blood. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And bringing us to God is redemption, buying us back from the slave market of sin. And don't we sing a little chorus sometimes, with the boys and girls, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And the Bible is full of scriptures telling us of the redemptive work of Christ. For example, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm sure many of us remember the little story of the wee boy who made his own boat, and he fashioned it and shaped it, and eventually one day he took it to the sea to see if it would float, and it did. It floated so well, it floated right out into the ocean, and he lost it. One day walking down through his local town, he saw the little boat in a window, and he went into the shopkeeper and said, "That's my boat." And of course the shopkeeper said to him, "No, no, I bought that from a fisherman who found it out at sea." And the little boy told him the story how he'd lost the boat. And the man in the shop would not give the boy the boat. He wanted the money that he'd paid to the fisherman. So the boy went home and found his bits and pieces of money and brought it back and bought the boat. And as he was walking from the shop, he looked at the little boat and he said this, "I made you. I lost you. I found you. I bought you, and you're mine." And that's exactly what Christ did in his redemptive work. So Peter's second thoughts about the cross involve the costliness of the cross, the loneliness of the cross, the completeness of the cross, and the redemptiveness of the cross. And we thank God today for all that he did for us. And may God bless these brief thoughts to all of you on this occasion. Amen.